I'm not the brightest guy. I went through the whole week and got to yesterday as I was studying and preparing before I realized that the passage of Scripture that I was like, what am I going to do with this passage of Scripture? And I realized, oh, it's World Mission Offerings Week, or at least the beginning of it for us. And during September and October, ABC USA and ABC International, we as churches take up an offering for World Missions Organization so that we can, as a denomination, impact the world for Christ. And they have an amazing budget, $10.7 million it takes to run World Missions for ABC, American Baptist Churches. And $1.3 million of it comes from your special gifts during these next 2 months. So we'll do it the next two Sundays, today and the next Sunday. But during that time, whatever money is collected is then used for doing mission work all over the world. In today's passage, we see that Jesus starts to teach his disciples how to fish. If you remember back in Mark about 20 weeks ago, when we were in Mark chapter 1, verse 17, Jesus said to them, "Come follow me, and I will send you out to fish for people." And he looks at Peter, he looks at Andrew, he looks at James, he looks at John. He says, "Guys, if you'll follow me, I promise you I will teach you how to fish for people." Right now, you're fishermen and you catch fish, but I will teach you how to fish for people. And so today I entitled the message Fishing 101, and we want to talk about this idea, this metaphor of fishing for fish versus fishing for people. And the similarities are kind of amazing. The difference between fishing for fish and people aren't as different as you would think. Jesus says, "I'm going to teach you how to explain to them this new covenant, this good news of salvation that comes through me. I'm going to teach you how to share with them this covenant of my blood shed for them." And so the question that comes to mind is, why fish? Why fish for people? You can't make a living at it. Missionaries and pastors alike have to many times raise funds in order to go and to share the good news. We're going to see in today's passage, Jesus said, just trust in God. Don't even take anything with you. Just go out and from village to village without anything and just trust me, I'll be with you. But it's difficult. I had a friend of mine that felt the call to be a missionary. He felt it for a long time in his life, and he kept saying no. He kept saying, "God, I'll do it when I retire. When I retire from my job and my kids are grown and gone, I'll do it then." His name was Shannon. But God kept getting a hold of his heart, and finally one day, Shannon said, "All right, Lord, I'll go." He had a child 9 or 10 years old. He had another one 16. He had another one that was like 18, 19, and another one that was like 20. They're already active in missions as a family. They were going once a year down to teen missions and doing mission trips. And so they're very active in missions. He was to Africa when God really got a hold of his heart. He was in Africa reaching out to people and just, he's a worker. Shannon just can do anything with his hands. He's a worker. And he was in those other countries just helping people with maybe water and helping them maybe with their buildings and whatever. And he just felt this call and he said, "All right, God, I'll go. And I'll sell everything I have. I'll quit my job of 20-some years. A very good retirement he gave up. He said, I'll go and I'll do it before the kids graduate. I'll go and I'll do missions." About 2 weeks ago, he left for Cambodia, and his family no longer is in teen missions in Florida. Now they're actually in Cambodia doing ministry there. And what it takes in order for you to pull that off is you've got to get a group of people who believe in you and will say, "I will give you so much a month. I will pledge to you so much a month so that you can go and preach the word and teach and help others." And a lot of times help them set up their own churches so that they then can teach others and not to westernize them, but rather to teach them to go and share the gospel in their own culture, in their own native language. And so it's not easy. Fishing isn't easy. You can't make a living at it very easily. It's tough. And yet Jesus said, "I want to make you fish for people." Fishing isn't free. It's expensive to fish for people. It's expensive to fish for fish, right? You got the nets to repair, you got the oars, you got the boat, you've got all that goes with that. If you're in today's society fishing, you've got the expense of the boat, you got the expense of the fuel, the expense of the maintenance, the bait that's going to need to be used. All of that takes money and all that takes time. It's not easy to fish, and yet Jesus said, I want you guys to leave all you're doing and go fish for people. You can't just... Fishing for people is different. When you fish for fish, you can take the fish and just drop them off at the fish market and let them deal with it. They can clean them, they can can them, they can do whatever they want with the fish. I can't do that with people. When we fish for people, we can't just drop them off somewhere and let someone else take care of them, can we? You know, if you know of a way, please let me know. I could have put Tim in there a long time ago. Tim says, why do you pick on me every Sunday? I don't know, Tim. It's just, you're an easy target, buddy. You're just right there. You can't just drop them off. You have to work with them and encourage them and teach them and nurture them and love them. And you got to love them through all the difficult times, right? I mean, fishing for people can be tough because people are fickle. Did you know that? Do you know people are fickle? You know, there's some people that if you don't say hi to them, get offended and won't come back to church. I've heard people say, well, my pastor saw me at the market and he didn't say hi. Well, maybe he didn't see you. Maybe he's too busy with his own grocery list. Maybe he's having a bad day. I don't know why he didn't say hi. Maybe he's brain dead and didn't recognize. I don't know. I don't know what happened. We're fickle. We get upset over the easiest things. That pastor said something in that message, and I just didn't like it, and I'm not coming back. I hear you. It's not easy to say the right thing all the time. People are fickle, right? They're hard to work with. What makes one person happy offends the other, and what offends that person may please somebody else. And it doesn't seem that it's easy to figure out what's going to work with every single person because they're fickle, right? We have our own little weirdness about us. Well, I don't like this kind of music, and I don't like this kind of preaching. I want a preacher to shout at me and tell me that I'm going to hell. I want him slamming his hands and screaming and yelling and veins popping out of his head. That's what I like when I hear a preacher, Pastor Jim. That is so not me. Thank you, Sandy, in the back, yes. That is so not me. I can fake it for a few seconds. I can't do that. It's not me. Now, I can scream at my kids, and I can scream at somebody else, but that's just, that's not me. But we're funny that way. Some people want to kneel and stand up, and they want kneelers in front, and they want to experience it that way. Some want it, you get what I'm saying, right? We're fickle, and fishing can be that way. Sometimes they're biting, sometimes they're not. You go to one place, and they're there one day, and the next day they're not, and you got to move, and you got to change locations. You got to try and figure out what to do to catch them. Fishing isn't easy. There are storms that come when you're fishing. Vessels can sink. There's no one else out there on the water with you. Nowadays, we have at least a radio where you can communicate and ask for help, but can you imagine 2,000 years ago going out into the ocean or out into the sea, knowing that it's just you in the water? And a storm comes up, and there's nothing you can do. You're on your own. It's not easy. Sometimes the best fishing is in the dark, and it's hard to see, and it's hard to work. Fishing isn't easy. Fishing is simple, but it ain't easy. Before we can really understand fishing for people or sharing the good news or making disciples, we must first answer this question. Why fish? Why fish? Why share? Why should I? Pastor Jim, is this metaphor of fishing for fish and fishing for people, as you're talking about that, why should I engage somebody else in conversation about Jesus? Do you know how hard that is to talk to someone about Jesus, right? You can talk about him all day long to your family or to your wife or to somebody else, but all of a sudden, now you're one-on-one with somebody, and it just won't come out. It's not easy. It's hard. So why should I fish? Why should I share this good news? Well, the obvious answer is we're commanded to. Jesus said, go into all the world and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So we're commanded to baptize them. We're commanded to teach them. We're commanded to do that. So an obvious answer is we're commanded to. And since we've dedicated ourselves to following Jesus, we should want to obey him. So the obvious answer is we're commanded. The second answer that I came up with is another obvious answer. If not us, then who? If not us, then who? God has strategically placed you around people that like you or know you. Maybe they don't like you, I don't know. But he's placed you around people that you have influence on, people that you have the ability to impact, people that you have the ability to love and to care for. And he specifically has placed you in those areas of their life on purpose. So if it's not us, then who? You may be the only Jesus with skin on that they'll ever see. Think about that for a second. That's a crazy thought. I heard a teacher one time teaching, and he was sharing that when he was little, he was an orphan child. Actually, he wasn't an orphan. His mom had died, and his dad was alcoholic, and he lived in a house that was really run down in bad shape. You could look through the floor and see the dirt underneath the house. Didn't have food, didn't have clothes. But he had a teacher in fifth grade that just, actually second grade and then another one in fifth grade, that just loved him. And they were Christians and believers, and they just started to care for him. And he explains it this way. He said, they became my Jesus with skin on. As they loved me and encouraged me, as they shared with me, as they did things for me, I started to see who Christ really is. When they loved me and encouraged me, I started to realize who Jesus was, who God is. Not because they were God in flesh, not at all, but the Spirit of God living through them, Christ living in them. And all of a sudden, it changed my life. And guys, if it's not us, then who? Because you may be the only person who lives Christ before them. So you need to share that good news. That's the second thing. The third thing, and I thought about this too. What if I didn't have a Sunday school teacher who loved me? If you didn't have a Sunday school teacher who loved you, what if you didn't have someone who gave you that message and shared with you that good news? Where would you be? And the third thing of why we fish and why we share is life change. Life change. Let them have what you have. Let them have what you have. See, Pastor Jim, God is so good to me. I have this peace inside me that no one else understands. I have this joy. I have this excitement, this kindness, this goodness. Well, maybe I try to be anyway, but it's tough. I have these fruits of the spirits that have come out of my life. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23 says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Why don't we want them to have what we have? As we were singing those songs this morning, Born Again and the other one, Chainbreaker, as we were singing those, I just kept thinking about, man, that's where Jesus met me. That's where I was. That's what he did for me. And I want him to do that for my neighbor. I want him to do that for my coworker. I want him to do it for my friends, my family. Family's tough, right? We learned last week, family don't want to hear it. We get that. That's tough. But man, I want them to have love, joy, peace, gentleness, kindness, forbearance. I want them to have those fruit of the Spirit. I want them to have that in their life. Mark chapter 16, verses 15 to 16 says, this is Jesus speaking. He said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. 1 Peter 3, 15 to 16 says, but in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to anyone or everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. And in Psalms 96, verses 2 to 4, David says this. He says, sing to the Lord, praise his name. Proclaim his salvation day after day. In other words, tell others about his salvation. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all the people. For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods. Romans chapter 10, verses 14 to 17. Paul is writing, and he's just said that if you believe with your mouth and confess, if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Christ is Lord, that you'll be saved. But he goes on to verse 14. He says, how then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news. But not all the Israelites accepted the good news. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our message? Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. So why do we fish? Why do we share? These verses are just a few of the many, many that I could have read. They just talk about why we need to share this good news, this message of hope, this message of life. Today's passage, we see that Jesus has just left his hometown. Remember last week, he went to Nazareth, and he's in Nazareth, and they rejected him. They said, and Jesus said, no prophet is honored in his hometown. They didn't respect him. They knew something was different about Jesus. They saw the fact that he had authority. They saw the fact that he spoke like no one else spoke. They saw the fact that he healed people, that he cast out demons. They knew there was something different, but they couldn't get past the little carpenter boy who was a son of Mary and Joseph, who was a brother of James and Joseph and Simon and Judas. They couldn't get past that. And so Jesus left their town, or his hometown, and it says he went out into the villages around and started to teach and started to preach and to share this good news. And I don't know about you, but when I look at that passage, the thought that comes to mind, if Jesus couldn't catch him, how's he think I'm going to catch him? If Jesus couldn't change the hearts of his family in Nazareth and his people that he grew up with, how in the world am I going to make an impact in their life? And so we start setting up excuses. Do you ever make excuses for not sharing the good news? Well, they don't like church, so I don't want to offend them. They don't like me, so I can't talk to them. They don't like, and what we just keep, the list just keeps going on and on, right? Here's the reality. God's placed us all in a place that we can make an impact and a difference, or he wouldn't have put you there, and he wouldn't have put them there. Mark chapter 6, verses 6 to 13. That was just the opening. Scott might be right about the hour and 27 minutes. No, this part's going to be quick, all right. Mark chapter 6, verse 6 to 13 says, he was amazed at their lack of faith. Then Jesus went around teaching from village to village, calling the 12 to him. He began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over impure spirits. And these were his instructions. Take nothing for the journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in your belts. Wear sandals, but not an extra shirt. Whenever you enter a house, stay there until you leave that town. If any place will not welcome you or listen to you, leave that place and shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them. And they went out and they preached that people should repent. And they drove out many demons and anointed many sick people with oil and healed them. Mark chapter 1, Jesus says, guys, if you follow me, I'm going to teach you how to fish for people. If you follow me, I'm going to make you fishers of men. Guys, if you follow me, I'm going to teach you. I'm going to show you. I'm going to help you understand how to do this. First thing I see when I look at this passage is when you share the good news of Jesus, people will say no. When you share the good news of Jesus, people will say no. That's the most frustrating thing about the gospel. Because we want everyone to say yes. We want everyone that hears about what Jesus has done in our life to be excited about it and want to have that in their life. I mean, as we sang the songs this morning that talk about him being a chain breaker, of being able to take care of those issues, those things in your life, of what it feels like to be born again. And it said that the lyrics said, I'm living for the first time. You know, I feel like it's something different going on. Man, we want that for everyone. But the reality is, there are some that will reject you. And as Jesus left his hometown, he said he was amazed at their lack of faith. And he left and he started to teach in other villages around them. Rejection is the hardest part of this job, I have to tell you. It's the hardest part of this job. If you ever work in sales or you ever work, has anyone ever done the mall thing where you walked up to people and asked them all these questions? Has anyone ever done that? They pay you like 10 bucks an hour. Okay, you've done it. Tammy, how was it? Not very good. Yeah, that stinks. I can't, right? That's like one of the most worst jobs in the world. Because first off, nobody wants to talk to you. And second off, the ones who do talk to you, they're only trying to be nice. They don't have the ability to tell you to shut up and leave them alone, right? They don't have the ability to get away. Amanda, how often do you get caught in those? Every time, right? Amanda's just too nice. She can't say no. Alerta, you get caught in those? No, Alerta, you could say no, couldn't you? Yeah, she could say no. It's tough. I mean, that's a tough job. Being rejected, because the people don't want to hear it. They don't care about what you're asking. I don't even know what they ask anymore. Do you want windows in your house? You know, do you want new shoes? I don't know. They ask some really weird questions, right? Do you use this kind of detergent? You know, I don't know. Just real exciting stuff that nobody wants to talk about. But Jesus is different. Jesus is a life changer. Jesus gives hope to the hopeless and light to the darkness. Completely different. And yet, they reject you sometimes. And I got to tell you, rejection is the hardest part of the job. Linda, how many years did Larry minister? Over 40 years. 40 plus years. Was he ever rejected? Oof. Yeah. Yeah, it's tough. It's the hardest part of the job. Sharing the good news with people should be one of those things where they go, oh man, that's so awesome. Thank you for telling me about that. I can't wait to give my life to Jesus. That should be the answer, right? It's a no-brainer. You think it's a slam dunk. Selling water softeners, that's a tough gig. Selling tires, selling insurance, you know, those can be tough. But sharing Jesus, guys, it's free. If you accept him as Lord and Savior, you'll never be the same. He'll change you in ways you never thought you could be changed. For the good, by the way, for the good. Blessings that come with it are beyond anything you ever could have thought. People will see you differently. They'll see that joy, peace, love, kindness, goodness, forbearance. They'll see that. And this should be a no-brainer. But it's not. And Jesus said he was amazed at their lack of faith as he left and went on. Second thing I see in this passage is Jesus throws them into the water. Jesus throws them into the water. He didn't literally throw them into water. You understand what I'm saying? He immediately just sends them out. And when we first see them, he sends them out, he says, by two, and he gives them instructions. But Jesus throws them into the water. Have you ever taken your grandkids or your kids and said, swim, and you throw them in the water? What do you mean, no? Yes, you do. I do. I put armies on them first. If I don't put armies on them, they're probably not going to swim, and they're probably not going to ever let Papa hold them again. No, get away from me. Right? They won't sit on my lap anymore. They won't give me hugs anymore. They will not think I'm funny at all if I take and just throw them in the water without first giving them some kind of life preserver, some kind of way to be successful and actually swim. And so I throw my kids in the water knowing they can swim because they got their armies on or they got their life jacket on. Or I'm catching them. You ever have them jump off the side of something into your arms? The side of the pool, the side of a cliff, whatever. That's not funny. I had Josh do it when he was little. He's standing up on the side of the lake, and I said, jump, and it's like a 10-foot jump, and he did. He crazy little kid. He just jumped, and I caught him. What's bad is if you don't catch him, because they won't ever do it again. It's like, no, I'm not. That hurt. That's not good, right? It's you throw them in the water because you know they're going to succeed. They're going to swim. They're going to be able to make it because I put life preservers on them. I gave them a shot. When you first look at this passage and you see him sending them out two by two, you think, man, that's rough. But there's no better way to learn than being put in to play, to being given the responsibility to do something. My car broke down. My dad had passed away when I was 11. I was like 16 at the time, and I had our car, and Mom, she couldn't change a starter. I don't know what was wrong with her, but she didn't know how to change a starter. I'm being sarcastic. And my neighbor came over, and he showed me how to change the starter on my car. He also is the one who showed me how to change the oil in my car. I didn't know how to do it before. You know what the best way to do? Throw a wrench in your hand, crawl under the car, maybe jack. In those days, you have to jack them up because they were, you know, the old boats we used to drive. My Dodge Coronet had enough lift on it that I could just crawl under it and work on it. Can't do that now. You got to jack them up, right? Well, whatever. You jack it up, you put a wrench in their hand, and you show them how to do it. All of a sudden, poof, they can change the starter. They can change the oil. They understand. Jesus didn't just throw them into the water. He gave them some things beforehand. First glance, it looks like he'd thrown them to the wolves, but not true. The first thing Jesus did is he modeled how to preach and how to teach for them for the previous 6 months to a year. As they went from town to town and watched Jesus preach and watched Jesus heal people and watched Jesus cast out demons, when it came time for them to do it, it was a little bit easier. Do you think they preached as good as Jesus preached? No. 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 The first time I ever preached a sermon, boy, was it bad. It was bad. It was at a spaghetti dinner for youth retreat thing, and you know, they all would come and donate money for the youth group, and then I would preach, and you know, we should have gave their money back. It was just that bad, right? It's just, oh, why would you put anybody through that? The first time that you taught the Sunday school class, how did it go? Wasn't like so-and-so who taught. It's not easy the first time, but you've seen it modeled. You know how to do it. You kind of know the flow. You kind of know what to do. So he modeled for them. Second thing he did was he sent them out in groups of two so they'd have support, they'd have protection. Third, he gave them power and authority over impure spirits and sickness. That's a biggie. That's the life jacket. Right? He gave them power through the Holy Spirit. He gave them authority to preach, to teach, to cast out demons, and to heal. That's a pretty big one. Because if they're not listening and you heal them, they're going to listen. If they're not listening and the guy over there who's disturbing everything and you cast a demon out, they're going to go, ooh, right? How did you do that, right? It makes a huge difference. He empowered them. He gave them the authority and the power. The fourth thing, he gives them a strategy. He says, all you need is God. In the truth. All you guys, you don't need to take your food. You don't need to take a bag. Don't need to take extra clothes. Wear your shoes because it's a rough walk, right? Other than that, you don't need anything. Whatever house you come to, stay there. Be polite. Take what they feed you. And if anybody rejects you, as you leave, shake the dust off your feet, which is an old thing they used to do at that time to show that it's not on me, it's on you. I told you the truth, I gave you the good news. You reject it, that's on you, not on me. And he says, go and do this. And it says as they went and shared the good news, that people's lives were changed. Third and final thing I see is, villages were eternally changed, not by them, but by God. Villages were eternally changed, not by them, but by God. It says, they went out and preached that the people should repent, and they drove out many demons and anointed many sick people with oil and healed them. Those villages were never the same after those guys came to town. The people you work with, the people that you hang out with, the family members that you have, if you'll just share the good news with them, and I'm not saying that you've got to preach a sermon to them, but you gotta share who Jesus is and what Jesus wants to do in their life. And if you do that, God will get a hold of them and change them forever. They'll be eternally changed. Not because of who they are, but who God is. Not because of what they say, but what God says. And it'll change their life forever. We took up the World Mission Offering today, and we'll take it up next week. If you didn't get a chance to do it today or didn't understand really what it's all about, there's an offering envelope in your pew that you can take home with you and get ready for next week. Or next week when you come, you can do it. Thousands of people all over the world sharing the good news. That's what it's all about. Jesus sent them out two by two to go and share the good news. And God's given you the opportunity to help them, to assist in that through your offering. God's given you the chance and the opportunity to do that in your neighborhood, in your workplace. I know what you're saying. Man, I don't know if I can do that. Scott, you're too early. I know you're saying, Jim, it's tough. I don't know. Look, God's prepared you. He's put you around people that have modeled it for you. He has shown you what to do. His word gives you everything you need. And if you'll just trust him one step at a time, you'll start catching fish too. It's incredible. So I'm going to ask the band to come as we close. Fishing 101. How well do you fish for people? How well do you share the good news? It's life-changing. Guys, it may be as simple as buying him a CD and hand him a CD that's got an incredible song on it. It may be as simple as sending them a YouTube video with a song on it. It may be as simple as taking them out to dinner and just having casual conversation. It may be as simple as just showing them love that no one else shows them. But whatever it is, take that step of faith and share that good news. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we come to you today, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for the truth that is in there. Father, for the good news of Jesus Christ and how he does save us and reach out to us and change us forever. And Father, you've called us to go and to share this news, whether it's by helping, supporting other missionaries that do it, or whether it's here at home with just reaching out to our neighbors or teaching a class, just loving somebody for the cause of Christ. As Scott said in his prayer, being the hands and feet of Christ today. Father, we pray that you'll just help us with that it will challenge us. Maybe we've never thought about that the call to fish is for all of us. So, Father, as we think about that today, may you help us to just be obedient and to fish for people. In Jesus' name we pray.